Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Hey, podcast listeners. Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/adfreenews. That's amazon.com/adfreenews to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The category tonight from the home office, top 10 things that sound cool when spoken by James Earl Jones. The famous actor, a fine actor, a lovely man. Top 10 things that sound cool when spoken by James Earl Jones. James, nice to see you. Thank you very much.
He was in character.
Yeah, like that guy that was here earlier. Top 10 things that sound cool when spoken by James Earl Jones. Here we go, number 10.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah. Number 9.
Objects in mirror may be closer than they appear.
Number 8.
J-Lo in the house.
J-Lo in the house.
Yeah, that sounded cool.
Number 7.
Click here now for the hottest sex sites on the web.
Number 6.
And the Academy Award for Best Picture goes to... Dude, where's my car?
I like that. Number 5.
You're not fully clean until you're zestfully clean.
All right, fine. Number 4.
You mean I get all these great funk classics on just one CD or cassette?
Yeah. Number 3.
Number 3.
Well, now, wait a minute. That makes no sense at all. The number 2 cool thing when spoken by James Earl Jones.
Meow, 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 meow.
And the number 1 thing that sounds cool when spoken by James Earl Jones...
Wazza! Oh, people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
It's the drugs from my generation. And it's a sin to God, the fake, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on, come on, come on!
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music.
Welcome to Monday Night Rollins. Yo ho ho and a bottle of Dom.
Bro.
The new day. Let me talk to you.
If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the dipper dogs.
Move to the music, play that fucking music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen,
and breaking news from via text message from one double S. Double S texting yourself, PC Tunny. Just putting it out there, I'd like to see the Punk McIntyre Hell in a Cell. Just saying, smiley face.
You asked for it, you got it, Toyota. Double S.
Sounds like we're watching Bad Blood at the Thunderdome. Welcome back to the podcast known as DWI, everybody. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of damn dare Americas, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It must be the hostess with the mostest, DPP.
Jeez, it's like every weekend people are over here.
I didn't come over this weekend.
People.
Yet.
Yet. Yet, he says.
Well, the Packers played on Friday last week, and your brother kidnapped me. I didn't drive over there.
That's true. And he's going to be over here again this weekend.
Well, I swear, I can't get rid of this problem. Guy. I don't think you'll see me this weekend.
No. All right.
You haven't invited me yet.
That's true. I don't even know what we're doing. That's the problem.
Nobody, yeah, I know. Neither does your brother. Right. It sounds like he wants to do something with you tomorrow so he can just get it out of the way.
Well, yeah, but the family gets together for birthdays.
Oh, the family one? So, oh, yeah, that sounds like a Saturday. That's Saturday afternoon, I think.
That was a Saturday afternoon, but no one will commit to if we're doing it at a house or going out for dinner. So.
Oh, you want to just go? You want to just meet somewhere?
Well, then, you know, you don't have to worry about dealing with anything here. You know, so that's the plan. Sure.
There you go. Well, you know, see what happens.
I put it out into the universe, and that's what I got back. Silence.
DP's first world problems.
Right? I know. Well, I need to know if I need to go get groceries, or I need to get some burgers to cook, or what? You know? What are we going to do?
I'm going to go golfing, and then I'm going to come home and eat something, and then drink. That's what I'm going to do, so probably won't see ya.
Lucky bastard.
What is your vote going to be for... So you probably didn't check the Bandwagon Nerds chat, but Agatha All Along and the Penguin both start next week. And Patrick is sticking firm, which I'm fine with, his rule of we only cover one show at a time. Because Dave and I just bring it up in what you watched anyway. But here's the caveat. Agatha drops the first two episodes next week. The Penguin drops the first episode next week on the 19th, but then doesn't have another episode till the 29th. So if we did the Penguin, we'd do it, be off for a week and come back because they're debuting on, what, a Thursday? Yeah, they're debuting on a Thursday, and then they're waiting until Sunday to go back to, like, the HBO Sunday night thing. Whereas Disney will be Wednesday, the first two. So I think it makes sense then. My vote was for Agatha.
I think we 100% do Agatha. That's
yeah.
That seems to be the way to go. I would say regardless, I would have gone with Agatha all along.
And of course, joining us as always is the trivia trickster himself, Mr. Adam AJ Belaz, the phenomenal funky fresh Philly is wearing one.
Yep. And God, do I hate the train system.
Well, talk to DP about it while I go blow my nose.
Well, I don't have an issue really with it. It's just, I swear, it's just like, for my time zone at least, because when we're recording, it's like, well, it's Thursday, 5:15. Some bastard needs to get to a podcast on time, so let's make a 100 linked train come through the entire station. And yeah,
here, sounds like a Seinfeld bit.
Okay. Here's my thing.
It does. It feels like it.
It's two things. Two things. One, we got trivia.
Of course we have trivia.
Of course we got trivia. And two, you know I've asked you in the past. If we can start 15 minutes later if you'd like. Or do you just like coming in like the beginning, middle of the show?
No, I'm fine with whenever we start it. It's just for the longest time, the train is just like non-existent. and as soon as now, every single goddamn Thursday.
Okay, we'll just start at 6:15. You're either home or you're not, and then we get 5-10 minutes in. We were talking about local plans anyway. You would have been bored. The listeners, I don't, you know.
No, don't worry. We got trivia. I have my baby version of an adios motherfucker. It's like a bye bendejo right now. So.
I don't know what any of those words meant.
Yeah, let's keep moving.
You've never had an AMF?
Let's let everybody know what's happening this week on the 448th edition of the DWI podcast.
Well, we're waiting. Well, it's the big
show. And it's been a while since I've said the sheet. Tony, on the other hand, he does not enjoy that.
It's fine. It is what it is.
Sure.
You know, life is full of sheets. We got some SmackDown notes. We got some Raw notes. We got some trivia. I'm not sure what Last Call is going to be yet. Before I forget, don't forget to check out Andrew Belaz's coverage of TNA Victory Road this weekend on thechairshot.com. Make sure you go back and listen to the Audi at Chairshot NFL, getting you ready for this weekend on the NFL. There is some big news here in both Raw and SmackDown. We're going to cover parts of the show, but I want to get into depth about a few things. And we'll do all of that and more when we come back after this commercial break. Just don't forget about ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At the UPS Store, we understand the importance of a first impression. That's why we're here to help you put your best foot forward and be unstoppable with our printing services. With high-quality paper stock options, banners, business cards, venues, and more, we make sure your small business stands out and your message reaches the masses. After all, we're the one-stop prints that pop store. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today and get your print on.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, welcome back, DWI 448, AJDPPC, Alphabet Soup. Don't forget about that Andrew Belez TNA Victory Road coverage right there on the chairshot.com. Tons of coverage there. You're listening right now on Chairshot Radio Network, all of your favorite streaming platforms. You can head over to follow me on Twitter on the X and check my pinned post of the brand new Chairshot Radio Network schedule. Plenty of shoes for everybody. Let's get into the wrestling, though, boys. I want to start with the news, though, of the debut on USA next week for SmackDown will be 3 hours. And Cody will defend the title against Solo Sikoa in a steel cage match. DP, what are your thoughts on those two things?
One, 2 hours. Fantastic. I think I was a big component on wanting them to go back to 2 hours because 3 hours just sounds like a slug.
No, SmackDown's going to be 3 hours next week.
Oh, boy, I did not hear that. I heard what I wanted to hear.
You did, but we didn't get to Raw yet. First, we're doing SmackDown chronologically. When we start Raw, that'll be the first thing, but don't get too excited, though. I think you're getting too excited for that.
I think I am.
I'm going to push the bubble on that one, too, but go ahead here. Let's talk about SmackDown.
Yeah, let's try this again. 3 hours. Not a fan. We'll switch that around. Not a fan of 3 hours. Once in a while it's fine.
This is a once in a while thing. This is for the debut. Yeah.
And for the debut, I think that's great because it'll give a chance to get everybody on there, make it a big show, make it, seem like a very special event. So that's good. And top it all off with, Cody and Solo in a steel cage. Pretty cool. I mean, it's been a long time since we had like just this steel cage match. I can't remember the last one. So that's gonna be really cool. I'm sure we're gonna get all the Bloodline involved. There's gonna be a lot of shenanigans, and Roman Reigns coming back for that, I'm sure. So I think that's really cool. That's a great hook to get everybody to tune in to the new channel and get that show going and kicked off with a pretty awesome day.
The only thing, I'm not wishing it, but it would be kind of cool, not going to lie, if they had the big blue bars for the steel cage match at SmackDown. But the fact that the 3 hour thing, I'm fine with since it's the debut on USA for them. So they can show off a little more to the new network representatives, quote unquote, new network. But, Cody and Solo in a steel cage match, that would be a great match. Obviously, we know Bloodline involved, everything else. You're probably going to get an attack by Street Profits, maybe even Randy. You know for a fact Roman's going to be there to stop Solo because it's USA, it's a debut. You need something big, and who bigger than the Tribal Chief?
Canyon? No,
not Canyon. I didn't say who better. But other than that, SmackDown was pretty good for this, but the whole thing going forward where it looks like we might have a triple threat for the United States Championship, LA Knight, Andrade, and Carmelo Hayes, we're going to see Piper Niven and Chelsea Green do a little more with Mia Yim. There might be some more shenanigans going on with the women's title picture that way because, not this last week, but prior to this, we had Bayley come back. We had a bunch of things go down where Tiffany may or may not have tried to wanted to cash in on Nia. So there's a lot of things that can play out for this SmackDown. Tony, I swear if you're going to be like Wade Barrett in Corey Graves, where it was, she was there to help Nia. I don't want to hear that. I don't want a naysay on that. We're going to have an action-packed SmackDown for 3 hours, and that is the bottom line, because the alphabet soup said so.
Okay. What do I add to that?
You sighed and shrugged and everything else. That's why I'm like, I see you
reacting. When did I
reacting.
Sigh? Well, I didn't know we were talking about all of those things, but I guess we are.
You wanted to talk about SmackDown. We have a 3-hour show later.
Yes, I did. I did.
So we threw things that you'll probably see.
You did. Let's go over some of those things. Let's start at the top of SmackDown here. Bayley gets a big win over Tiffy with some interference from Nia. What do you think is going to be? Where do you think her first title defense is coming?
Didn't she already have the title defense against Mia Yim?
Her next title defense. I don't. Was that a title defense?
I thought it was a title defense in a street fight, but. I could be wrong, but the next one, I definitely can see Bayley getting one here, getting her quote-unquote rematch clause, because we don't really do rematch clauses anymore, which is dumb. But I can see Bayley being the next one, and that either strengthens the Tiffy-Nia relationship, or that's where we see the fracture, and Nia's on, like, high alert. I can definitely see that going, but I do think that the next person in line is Bayley.
Well, yeah.
Probably have bad blood, I would assume. I mean, unless they want to strengthen the... assume they would wait and not put that match on the SmackDown as well, since they got the big one in Cody and Solo. So I would think that's a... could be a match at Bad Blood.
They've been doing a lot of Bayley and Nia for the title at house shows, so that seems very logical. And yes, that street fight was for the title. Tiffy can continue to cost Nia's opponents until she actually cashes in, so that's kind of where we're going, right? How did you guys like Giovanni Vinci and his big hype and his, you know, reemergence only to get rolled up by Apollo Crews, DP?
That's weird. He's a really good wrestler.
It feels like something Vince would do, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Just like burying him, you know, the big, you know, reveal, big new debut, and then just continues to get beat in seconds. I don't think we need that. What are you doing with him then at that point? Like, he's already been the whipping boy in every other place he's been with Ludwig and with Kaiser and Gunther. And now you're just going to have him go out of his own and be the same thing? Like, it's weird. It's really weird.
I mean, it is weird, and it is insanely Vince-like, where it's like, well, here we're going to have you be like this pretty boy from...
No. Don't do Vince. Stick to Drew.
All right, fair enough. But, like, all right, so we have the new character, everything else, and just throw a random, like, 8-second squash match. Like, I appreciated it. I appreciated it too, Tony. Where we have the 8-second squash match where it's, like, Diesel jackknifing Bob Backlund and MSG. But... it has to lead to something more for Giovanni, because he does have a great look. He's a great wrestler. Where are they going to go with this? Where, okay, Apollo Crews is a former Intercontinental Champion, so there has to be a little something going where it's like, well, prove yourself with this new character and see where it goes. So that's more where I'm seeing with this, but... As far as that 10-second match in general, yeah, that was Vince to a T. You don't need a documentary to know that was a Vince-ism to a T.
Anything else you guys want to cover from SmackDown? I mean, the Bloodline won that Fatal 4-Way, which basically creates the title match here against DIY and the Street Profits. I think we can move over to Raw. So DP, starting October 7th, Raw will continue to air on USA, but from 8 to 10 Eastern. Because WWE's contract with USA for Monday nights is up. They are working basically on a handshake agreement through the rest of the year, but they're only giving them 2 hours. When they go to Netflix, it is definitely going to be a 3-hour show. DP, how do you feel? You thought they were going to 2 hours.
I know. I didn't enjoy it while I can.
Dumbass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fine. I know when it comes to Netflix, it's going to be 3 hours. I figured we're not going to ever revert back after they went that way and they get too much money ad-wise and everything to make it go back. So it's totally fine, but I'm going to enjoy the 2-hour bits when I can for the next couple months. They definitely have enough talent to fill 3 hours. Don't get me wrong. It's just if you go to a 3-hour show or you want to sit through, it's just a long time. I just feel like it's just too much. I mean, so it'll be fine.
Yeah. A 3-hour television show taping is a lot different than a 3-hour pay-per-view. Way different.
Or even just a regular sporting event too. Like, you know, it's just, I don't know, just different when it comes to wrestling when you're there at a taping.
Yeah, I don't think, unless something huge was happening, I don't think I'll probably ever go to another TV taping. I think basically I would go to a live event before I'd go to a TV taping, and I'll probably just go to pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about it right now, because I didn't have it written down, but Sports Milwaukee is making a bid, putting something together to try and get WWE to have money in the bank here this summer at Fiserv. How many can you look up how many seats Fiserv holds for a Bucks game? Mm-hmm. So it'd be a really nice thing too, because for the WWE fan experience, there's the Deer District right around Fiserv, which is a great place with some shops and food and a big open mall too. So like an outdoor, like not like a mall, like a store mall, but like the other, you know, a gathering place. So that'd be a great place to have a WWE fan experience. How many, what do they hold? 18?
So like a mall chain where it's like
17,385 for basketball, 18,000 for concerts. So be closer to 18,000. Honestly,
here's the thing. No, they it wouldn't be the top. It'd be one of the end courts. At some point you have to get rid of, because you have the Megatron stage and the entrance ramp. Yeah. Unless you got rid of that and you had some from a different point, they could do something different and small and sell all those seats, because, yes, they could probably fit 20,000 people in there if they didn't have an entrance ramp and used, like, you know, what they would do for, like, a board, or even if they need one. But, yeah. It's a state-of-the-art arena. It's one of the best arenas in the world right now. It's brand spanking new. Anyway,
strip mall was the word I was thinking of, like a strip mall area that.
No, like an outdoor theater, and not like a theater, but like an opening, like a mall, like a gathering place, like a commons. I'm speaking more like in Roman terms of a mall or a theater. Okay, that's the news there. Sorry, Dan. We still love you.
Hey. I got a couple hours or a couple of months to enjoy it while I can.
I get to relax at the end of the day at 10 instead of 11. This is perfect.
Yeah, you get about 14, 15 episodes of 2 hours. So
soak it in.
Oh, the other thing too is this new agreement that WWE has with Fox, or not with Fox, with USA for SmackDown on Fridays, also has them producing 2 Saturday night specials next year, which will be Saturday night's main event coming back, likely on NBC. So that'd be pretty cool to have that, likely from like 9 to 11 Eastern. Then you get your local news, then you get Saturday Night Live. Maybe they have it in New York, and they go over to the studio right afterwards, live to live.
Oh,
that'd be kind of cool.
Jeff's kiss.
That'd be really cool.
Can we get Triple H and Mick Foley and the Big Show on there again? That was the best.
Remember that? That was awesome. When the Rock, Yeah, when The Rock first hosted, his first host, Foley, Triple H, and Big Show were all there. It was pretty cool. And Vince. So that was pretty awesome. That was about Mania 2000, right?
Yeah. Mania 2000. Yeah. I remember the Big Show hiding an entire steel chair behind
chair
his, like, you couldn't
behind
even
sack, yeah.
So funny.
That's pretty funny. All right, let's get to Raw. The Wyatt Six defeat American Made. How do you guys like this rivalry that they've built up, AJ?
I love the fact that it's not a slow burn where they're actually like targeting what they need to and everything else. And there's the premise with the he didn't say please anymore. And now that they're going ahead and attacking everybody in a street fight. So Ivy Nile, Brutus Brothers, Chad Gable, like this is making it seem like it's a great long-term feud. And I'm actually enjoying it where it's, yeah, we still have the supernatural stuff for the Wyatts and everything, but the fact that, you know, they're actually wrestling and they're doing stuff makes me love this a little more just because it's not just the supernatural of just scaring them. It's Bo Dallas embracing the whole thing, working at it perfectly. Everyone else, Loomis, Eric Rowan, obviously already had the Wyatt thing down pat already. And now Nikki Cross, especially hitting Ivy Nile with the freaking kendo stick over and over. That was just, I'm enjoying the feud where it's, maybe it'll be the same as the whole trope with Bray Wyatt when he was the Fiend, where he reverts you back to your best form, where maybe out of nowhere we get Chad Gable to be, you know, the American Made and actually maybe win the Intercontinental Championship, maybe go a little further, show that he is like the second coming of Kurt Angle. I'm not saying that he'd be better than Kurt Angle, but at least have a showing of him. It was a damn good match, even though it was a street fight, so, you know, shenanigans were afoot, but it was still a great match.
They're doing something. PC should be happy. They're doing something, but they're actually having wrestle
happy
matches. Like, I was shocked. I'm shocked. I'm happy about that. They got him in a feud. They're actually wrestling matches. Keep it up, and then we'll move on to something else. I'm enjoying the feud. I think it's great. I'm happy that they're actually doing something rather than just seeing vignettes and whatever else. That's it. It's great.
Yeah, like you said, they're wrestling. They're out there. They're doing it. Like, Bo has wrestled a couple times already. So we'll see. I like that they're kind of making each other as a faction, because the transition of Gable and his new faction, and then kind of solidifying the Wyatt, they're rooting each other at the same time, which is really nice, which is something I'd like to see more in the tag division. But they decided to go ahead and just have Jade and Bianca beat the unholy union of Fire and Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. The match was fine. I just wonder what's next. Like, we need to build these tag teams. They didn't need to beat them. They could have been off in a different storyline and come back around to that, in my opinion, DP.
Yeah, they definitely could have. They could have waited to come back to this if they wanted to. Have Fire and Dawn, you know, yeah, wrestle the next tag team or something and have to get another shot at the titles rather than just, I mean, I guess rematch clause, whatever, fine. I guess you could say that, but like, build it up a little bit more then or something. Like, wait it out. Have another team in between that they have to wrestle, or at least is out there showing that they're the next contenders or something, rather than just have Bianca and Jade beat them in whatever it was, like 5 minutes. You know, it was, you know, again, it
TV felt, match,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it just that we don't need that right now. We need some solidified tag teams, like you said, to, you know, build up the division a little more. So get, you know, get the next team ready. You could have made it a triple threat tag team or something. Like, somebody else was ready, and so Alba Fire and Dawn didn't necessarily get their rematch right away or something. You know, like, get somebody in there. Let's get this thing going. I'm really hoping that they have somebody else built up and ready to go for the next feud.
I'm in the same boat where let's take this for instance. It took Bailey until now, but like we're hypothetically speaking, she's the next one in line for the rematch. That happened at SummerSlam when she lost it, and now she might finally get her rematch about like a month or two later. We had Rhea, after getting injured and everything, she came back after the Mania. SummerSlam, she gets her rematch. Why are we suddenly just throwing a rematch for the tag titles for the women, and we're not having anything built up? Like, we have Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. We have Indy Hartwell, Candice LeRae. We have...
say their real name.
The other group that I'm not going to say that shitty name for. We have Damage Control. We have
Pure.
A bunch of... No, I don't
Fusion.
Want to...
Fusion. Collective.
God, no. Okay, I understand that they're all probably Dragon Ball Z nerds.
I thought you were going to call them something else.
I'm pretty sure when Eric Bischoff was the general manager of Raw...
You forgot already?
I don't want to remember what their name... I don't even remember it already. Shit.
No, last week you declared you would only call them one name from now on.
I don't even remember.
Go back and check out episode number 441 on the DWI podcast.
Hey, if you go listen to that, to go
just check out the title.
AJ,
you know, all you have to do is look at the title.
It's this, damn it.
Not listening.
But you have so many. You have two factions technically for women. You have three other tag teams. Why are we not building up this division a little more? Like, I'm all for having the rematch clause and everything. That's perfectly fine. But the, like, 2 days removed? That's bad. You should feel bad.
When Charlotte's ready to come back, if the timing is right, I think it'd be really cool to have, like, this ultra face showdown. Charlotte comes in and she's, like, comes back and challenges Jade and Bianca respectfully, you know, and the crowd goes crazy, and now they're all faces, right? And they're like, but you don't have a partner. And then she brings in Jordynne Grace as her partner, which does a couple of things. Which makes sure that Charlotte is a face moving forward, and it creates storylines with Jordynne Grace. They can lose the titles, but not be... have problems with each other after, if they were to win the title from them, and cause Jade and Bianca to go into their spiral, which would lead to a WrestleMania match. So I think that's a lot of booking by Tunney. But just wondering when Charlotte's coming back and where she fits into the picture, I think that'd be really cool.
I'm fine with that, as long as they do as long as they do something. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
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 Yeah. As long as they do something with this women's tag team championships, other than just, here's this person, now we're going to hodgepodge it to another one. Like, you can, like I said, you can do it with Damage Control. You can do it with Candice and Indy, Chelsea and Piper, DeVille's three-way. I remembered finally. DeVille's three-way.
Where are you getting a light bulb there? Some kind of light bulb going on. Ding!
Yeah, hold on. Let me just turn on the light real quick in the room, but like something more than just the same two teams where it's just like when is the next team that's gonna show up? And then you just look at a watch and it's just like they haven't defended in like 30 days. What's going on here? 60 days. Oh, you're gonna randomly throw them in there so you remember the tag title. Okay. Another 30 days.
Jey Uso, number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. I think we all knew that was going to be it. I can't just pick like the obvious people all the time. It's a disease I have here on this show. That's why DP went, oh man, staff picks, chair shot staff picks. I'm having flashbacks.
Oh God.
Let's start that back up again. But DP was really good at that.
Dominated. He was that.
Keeping track. But you called it on air, AJ. Jey Uso. Did you also DP, I believe?
I believe Dan did, yeah.
I try to create doubt and suspense, make it a better viewing experience for our listeners, you know, that I kind of, you know, hey, they're not so sure, and you guys just, you know, continue to feed into the corporate bullshit, man.
What?
I was about to say, if we go back to WrestleMania season, I did nothing with corporate bullshit.
Yeah, both our viewers must be thrilled.
Well, that's just like your opinion, man.
Both our viewers must be thrilled.
Go ahead, AJ, kick us off here. Jey Uso, serious threat or just a perfect guy to get Braun even more over? And when I say serious threat, like to take the title away from him.
No, I knew what you meant. Where I think it's more both, where it makes Braun Breaker look good, but he could legitimately...
Has Jey held the IC title?
Jey hasn't held anything except for the tag team.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just creating doubt and suspense, making it more enjoyable viewing experience over here.
I know what you're doing. All 1.5 of them just like popped a little bit, but
no.
I think both where... All right, fine, two. Where, you know, Braun Breaker will look good against someone like Jey, where Jey will probably sell like crazy for him, but Jey also could legitimately take this. Like, you could have just a random fluke win from Jey, and it's just like, well, he's now Intercontinental Champion, and that pisses off Braun Breaker further to the point where he'll win it back at some point and just dominate that match, and it's just like, it's kind of like a catalyst to make him, I'm not going to say Brock 2.0, but someone that's like Brock, where it's just anger-fueled, complete beast incarnate, going rampage mode and dominating. But I honestly think both.
Jey Uso's 39. Ugh. I was going to say, like, you're going to be looking at, you know, these two guys again, possibly in a world title match, you know, somewhere down the line of another feud. This could be the one. If you wanted to have some back and forth with swapping the titles and have a long feud that what was it, I can't remember, I'm gonna say like Booker T and Sheamus or something, where they went that best of seven or whatever, like
Cesaro.
Oh man, like you could have a long feud with these two guys and have some phenomenal matches. It could be insane. Find it.
I'm working on it. You could have kept talking instead of asking about it.
Because these guys will just put on a show.
Check it. All right, this has gone too far. Big Tony, let's hit them with the bar. Ice, shamey. Yo, stop! Collaborate and listen!
The bar is back with a brand new diss, and shamey, it's gonna hold you tightly.
Zara's gonna swing you daily and nightly. When will you stop?
I don't know.
Yo, shamey, let's go back to the flow. The extreme gonna bro kick your head like a vandal.
When we step to those ropes, nobody can hold a candle.
Ice, shamey.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You're welcome.
Wait, I think that's a different one.
Yeah, Jace was the number one contender. I agree with you, Dan. This could be the one that they go back and forth instead of where I was hoping to be Randy and Gunther. Did you have a last thought to add on that? No, that was about it. AJ had really good points as well. The only last thing I want to talk about before we take a break here for trivia, the interaction between Gunther and Bret Hart. How'd you like that, AJ?
I absolutely loved it because Bret being, you know, Bret, the whole stoic, granted his nickname in WCW wasn't the Iceman, that was Dean Malenko. He was the Iceman. He was very stoic. Called Gunther out, called him Yella, and called him a coward, everything else. Gunther legitimately going up to him and saying that he's his second favorite wrestler behind Bill Goldberg. That popped me more than anything in the entire world. I am not gonna lie. I was not expecting a random Bill Goldberg reference, but the fact that we got a Goldberg reference...
Yeah.
it's your lack of faith in me or your eagerness to be able to be the one to bring it upon the world, but I knew where you were going.
Oh, I know.
You could have been more, you know, middle-aged man with, you know, woman of the night as opposed to high schooler for the first time, you know.
Are those new slacks?
You could have slowed that down a little.
Play the long game like Community.
If I get to have that reference, I get to always have that reference, yeah. Damn it.
Instead, you were all Fast Times and did you feel it?
Was it good for you? Did you finish? No, the fact that we got a reference to that, and you know Brett was in on it. You know Brett had to know that that was going to go on, and if he didn't, Triple H is a fucking comedic genius.
I think unless Brett was really trolling everybody, he asked Wade Barrett where the fucking hard cam was when he got in the ring. He seemed genuinely appreciative as a face to take a heel's barbs. But I think Hunter said, what are you good with? And fucking Bret Hart, I'm back on WWE TV. Like, I'm Bret fucking, I'm good with whatever, dude. Like, you know Bret. He doesn't come at me. Like, I mean, he's had Sean calling him out being with Sonny during his marriage. So, like, I think he's good right now. You know what I mean? He's got no skeletons. So, I think Bret thoroughly enjoyed his time there and his ability to be able to advance the world champion. Right, DP?
I think that's exactly it. I think he was more than happy to be there, see the boys
thrilled.
In the back again.
I mean, how do you think he was treated in the back? Like a fucking king.
Thank God.
Yeah, like a two-time king of the ring.
Well done.
The only one.
And, you know, being able to, yeah, like you said, you know, just enhance the world title and help Gunther get over just a little bit more. I mean, what's better than taking down the home, you know, the home fan, the home guy? That's what it's all about. I mean, JR did it every goddamn time they were in Oklahoma. You know, it's you know, bring out the legend and have the heel poke fun at him or take a bump if he can and get the heel over even more. I mean, that just solidifies it more and more. And I'm sure this won't be the last time we're going to see a legend come to the ring and Gunther, you know, try and verbally abuse him or something.
I'm just saying this. With Brett limping to the ring the way that he did, I don't think he was taking a bump anytime soon. I don't know if you saw that he was limping to the ring, but he was limping.
I think he's past all that. But here's my point, though. Gunther needs Bret Hart to fucking get over in Canada. Like, he's boring. He has no one attached to him anymore. It's just him. Like, something's got to happen with him. If I have to sit here and endure him being this fucking boring until WrestleMania,
still needs that mouthpiece.
All right. Okay. Well, you know what?
Where's good old James E. Cornette where you need him and bring out that
Okay, you can do Drew and you can do Corny. Don't do Vince ever again. We're going to take a commercial and come back with trivia. DWI 448. Alphabet Soup in the house!
Now a word from my god, our sponsor.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Okay, a little insider baseball before I play the theme here. I get up from where I sit to do this podcast like at least a half a dozen times a show. Everybody who works with me all the time is used to it by now. I knew that when Dan played the Chris Platt commercial, I had 19 seconds to go to my fridge and come back in time to play Can you ring the bell? Thank you. It's time to come back because I am the only one that has the opening for trivia.
And it's a good thing that you had that 19 seconds, because trivia time, everyone's favorite, right?
19.23250 seconds.
Sometimes. Not always.
The fuck was
last week was great.
Rattled off? Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, Dan, you can go fuck yourself.
I'm gonna soak that up for the next 3 minutes before I lose.
I also want to complain to PC Tunney in the Chair Shot group chat where they announced on Raw that Drew McIntyre and CM Punk would be in a Hell in a Cell match. And he goes, well, every main event was a Hell in a Cell match. How did you know that, Tunney? PC is Tunneyus.
Because Dan studied last week.
Because I win.
Okay. Shut up, Dan.
Shut
well,
up, Richard.
This one.
You know he shuts me up. I grow up. When I look at you, I throw up. And then I walk around the corner, and your mom licks it up.
Okay.
That's from the fifth grade network.
All right. So since that Hell in a Cell match was announced, we got a little bit of Hell in a Cell trivia.
Shit.
So, Tunney, since Dan was able to get the pick last time, even though you just did that awful, like, third-grade comment about stuff, I will begrudgingly give you the choice of door number one, door number two, or door number three.
Two. Well, let me drop that deuce.
All right.
That way.
It feels What's weird that, that way, like, is that what you said?
It's not as good that way.
I think it's better that way.
All right. I don't know about that, dude.
I don't know about that, dude.
I hate this show. I hate this show so much. I fucking love it.
All right. Which male wrestler holds the most appearances in Hell in a Cell without a win?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because obviously the one that has the most is Taker, but he's won a bunch of them. See if we can get this. Most appearances without a win. Tunney says HBK, which Sean won the first one, Tunney. And Dan says Cactus Jack, better known as Mr. Bang Bang, which is correct. It is actually Mick Foley who has the most without a win.
Yeah. He's too busy falling off of the win.
Now, I'm not going to release that because that may or may not be a tiebreaker question.
Damn it.
Did he win the... He won the... Ah, fuck. He did win the first one. Okay. Well, you know, I'm drinking. I'm enjoying myself.
All right, Dan. Door number one or
hello.
Door number three?
Hello, whiskey.
Hello, number one.
Doodly-doo.
What event had the last Hell in a Cell match before, obviously, the one that's announced. So what event, or if you can tell me which two wrestlers were in that Hell in a Cell match.
Oh,
so
sweet Jeebus.
You can get 2 points if you can do both, but what was the last pay-per-view, PLE, whatever you want to call it, and or who were the two people that were in it?
Yeah.
thankfully, Triple H has kept his promise on not overdoing gimmick matches.
Oh, because was it him?
It's been a little bit since the last one. All right. So Dan says Mania, Triple H versus Taker.
Oh.
Tunney says SummerSlam, Edge and Seth. So sadly, neither of those are correct. It was actually WrestleMania 39.
Is it The Fiend?
Between Edge and Finn Balor.
Oh, boy.
I had Edge.
You had Edge, but everything else was wrong.
I had Mania. Did that count?
Oh, never mind.
Dan, we've had 40 Manias. Come on.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, yep. We only have one Edge, so do I get a half a point?
11 on the
you
Edge.
You may have one Edge, but you also currently have an Adam Joseph, so I don't want to hear it. None of you get a point.
Crap. Total BS. All
right, so the last question.
Settle down, Dan.
Did you get that from Letterkenny?
It's fucking embarrassing!
Yes,
you did. Thanks, coach. All right. Which wrestler?
Dumbass.
Which wrestler on the current roster for WWE has the most wins in Hell in a Cell? So, which current wrestler in the WWE has the most wins in Hell in a Cell?
Hold on. Oh. I'm having a malfunction on my pen. It's not writing.
Not the pen. At least you didn't lose it this time.
I'm pretty sure there's pills for that.
That is not necessary.
Tunney says Rollins. Dan says Orton. Dan, getting the point, it is Randy Orton. 5. And for those that
Two
want
wins.
To
That's
know, the
streak.
Most appearance... Yeah, and the most appearances in Hell in a Cell without a win for Mick Foley. 4.
3's a streak. 2's back to back.
2's kicked
mean, he
your
had
ass.
A, he had a 5 win streak when we started this. So,
watch Major League again. The dude will explain it to you. Congratulations, all right. Dan.
All right, Dorn.
You really are awesome. I still don't know what Last Call is going to be, but you can play it after this.
Last Call. Alcohol. What do you mean it's Last Call?
What do you mean? What do I mean? It's the last thing we're going to talk about right here on DWI Podcast number 448, right here on ChairShot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. We remind you to always use your head and head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick it up. Makes a great gift as well.
Mazel tov.
That one could get cut and put over some music, Greg DeMarco.
What, the Benny Hill theme from How Fast You Did That? What the
Okay, let's all just have one little thing to contribute here, and I'll start while you guys think of something. I already talked about it on Bandwagon Nerds. I already talked about it on The Oddity, which was really cool. Check out The Oddity, because I went and saw the movie I'm about to tell you, and first Dave read a 1-star review from an angry fan, which was hilarious. Yeah, it was stupid. I went and saw Beetlejuice. It was amazing. It captured the essence of the first one. All the returning actors and actresses were excellent. I loved the storyline, and that's why Tim Burton came back, because he had a story to tell. The evolution of Lydia and Delia and now Astrid played by Jenna Ortega, Lydia Dietz's daughter. Just a great movie. If you can see it in ScreenX, go ahead and see it in ScreenX, because a lot of the shots that they do, if you remember from the first one, like through the city, and then through like the setup in the attic with the model town, when they zoom into that, right? Michael Keaton's excellent. Danny DeVito makes a cameo. And Catherine O'Hara as Delia, reprising that role, to me, let's get an Oscar nomination for supporting actress. This film should get Oscar nominations for like artistic direction and things of that nature. It's just so good. And they didn't overdo anything. They didn't like over update. So like the sand monster is back and they didn't like over CGI it. It's still kind of in between claymation and cartoonish. So it's so much fun. It's so many callbacks, and take your kids. When I saw it on a Sunday morning, and there was 50 people in the theater. And I had commented the week before when I was going to buy tickets that there was a lot more tickets already sold than a lot of the Marvel movies in the past year, year and a half, excluding Deadpool and Wolverine, all the way back to, I'd say, like No Way Home, there was more tickets sold. But just a gem by Tim Burton. Thank you. Thanks for all the actors that reprised their role. And go see it if you have a chance. If you need to wait to see it on streaming, that's fine. But when it comes to streaming, go check it out. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Unbelievably awesome. Whoever's ready, fire away.
I got one. What I also mentioned on Bandwagon Nerds, because I haven't been doing a what you watching. I've been doing a what you playing. Because I have been all over Star Wars Outlaws on the PS5. And the more I play it, the more fun it is. And it's getting better and better with every mission that I do.
So I have to go get this. So I have to get this fucking game.
I'll tell you about it. If you can decide here, but it is third person shooter. There is a lot of stealth missions, but there are also, most of it, you can run and gun if you want and just go in guns a-blazing and have a firefight. It works both ways.
I'm a little more stealthy in gameplay considering my Fortnite excursions now. Yeah,
there you go.
I appreciate how you're directing that commentary towards me.
I know how you like your shooty games, and it's usually guns a-blazing in a sense. So it's got like, it's a combination of everything, and you can kind of decide how you want to tackle the different missions. A lot of side quests type of stuff, like a Fallout type of game or anything like that, but not crazy. Not where I'm getting overwhelmed, because that's a lot of things I hated about some of those games. It doesn't do anything to advance like gameplay style. It takes a lot of elements from other games, but there's nothing like fancy new about it. But it's just done really well. And so far, at least, it's been very consistent. You can fly to different planets, and you can fly in between the planets, which is nice too. Like you go out and you can fly the ship and get into, you know, firefights too in the ship, which is really neat on top of being on the different planets. One being including Tatooine, which I just got to and got to hang out to the Mos Eisley Cantina. And I was very disappointed that they were not playing the proper song. That was the only disappointment I have so far. But everybody's in it. I met the Hutts. Jabba the Hutt caught me. And you got to have a meeting with Jabba and Bib Fortuna. And of course you got sucked down to the Rancor pit. So it's like a lot of nostalgia. It's placed between Episode 5 and 6 of Star Wars. So Han Solo's in there in the carbonite. It was really cool. Like it was like, oh shit. And just all this different little stuff that reminds you of like, oh yeah, you're in the world that's going on right now. And the Empire is taking over and dominating things. Which is really neat. And you have like 5 different like syndicates of people that you do jobs for, and you try and get, you know, up on their good side, and you go up and down, and you can, you know, help them or you can hurt them, and it helps your reputation between the two. So you got to juggle whose reputation you're on the good sides with, because if you're on a bad side of the reputation and you go into some of their areas, they're going to shoot on sight, and it stops you from getting into certain places. So it's really neat juggling system of trying to be on the right guy's good sides at certain times when you need to be. So there's a lot of strategy involved in it as well. The gunplay is really awesome. You got your blasters because you're like a smuggler, basically. So you have a lot of gunfight, a lot of stealth, a little bit of platforming, kind of like an Uncharted type of platforming stuff. And it's just, it's got everything. And it's just been every mission that's been getting better and better as you upgrade your guy and meet new people and get into new planets. So I can't recommend this game enough of how good it is so far.
Sounds awesome. AJ?
Yeah, I mean, gaming-wise, that is definitely something that I had under my radar. I know another one that came out was Warhammer 40K has their Space Marines game that came out, which I know a lot of people that I've been talking to have been wanting to play that, where it's very much like a shooter and hack and slash, whatever you want to call it, where you just go on there and fire away, and you don't need a plan necessarily, you just liberate whatever you need. It's kind of like Helldivers all over again, but there are definitely some games on my radar. Also, especially, I'll go a little bit into the sports side, where the Utah Hockey Club, thankfully that's not going to be their full name for going forward, but they had their rookie camp going on actually today, as we're recording on Thursday. They had their rookie camp, so they're getting ready for that that first game in the season. I know the preseason games, I actually saw that they have tickets on sale against the Avalanche next month, so I might try to snag myself some of those so I can watch them preseason.
When are they announcing the name of the team?
That I do not know. I have not heard anything about it. I just know
the first year. Already?
Yeah. So the first year they're going to be called the Hockey Club. The second year is when they get the licensing for the new name, which it seems like it's heavily leaned toward the Utah Yetis or the Utah Yeti. But they've already released the jerseys where they have the full black with some light blue and white pinstriping on the sleeve with inaugural season on the shoulder pads. Same thing goes for the away jerseys where they're fully white, blue and black on the arms with the inaugural season shoulder pads.
Why do we have a bridge here? Why doesn't this all get taken care of in time?
Don't know.
This is ridiculous.
To me, it feels like as a fan, I gotta have this collector's edition one, and then next year I gotta go get another one, and then
Which you know for a fact, I'm taking orders.
We haven't even started, and they're already starting that shit.
It's not like they moved cities, you know, where they rename the team or something like that. No, it's like they didn't pick one.
Technically, they did. They were the Arizona Coyotes.
Arizona, I guess.
No, it's a relocation, but yeah, like you should have that all that shit ready to go.
They should have a team name at that point.
Right. I can't believe this is ridiculous.
I'm still taking orders for the jersey since it'll be the inaugural jersey. I know the IWC War Chief. Well, I mean, the inaugural season jerseys, everyone's going to be wanting those. Those are going to be like a high collector's item.
Hey, you'd think it'd be their jersey for like at least the first 10 to 20 fucking years.
Right. But as for everything else, the thing that I want to talk about, which, you know, we don't really talk about that brand much often because we have the Raw, we have SmackDown.
Oh, NXT, that's okay.
NXT on CW happened this week as well. And yet again, I'm loving the WWE NXT TNA experience. You had Obafemi against my boy, good old Alexander Hammerstone, facing off against him as a show. Jordynne Grace defending her title in an open challenge for the Knockouts Championship on NXT. And even non-TNA guys with NXT, where, you know, you now have Julia rightfully becoming the number one contender. She had a match where she's actually the number one contender against Roxanne Perez. You have Trick Williams trying to lay claim to the NXT title again against Ethan Page. So there's a lot of things going on NXT where it's a lot of excitement. I'm not just saying that as a Belaz where there's TNA involved. It has actually been up there as one of the best shows that happens every week.
We don't talk about it rarely ever, but like I pay attention to it. to me, Trick is going to be a player. Trick's going to win some world titles. That's the feeling I get from him. Just saying.
No, that's fair. I mean, he's got the charisma. He's got the look, so...
The charisma's big.
I'm not denying it, especially when you have Booker T. Like, if he goes to the main roster, Booker T better be like a manager so we can ad-lib the stuff for his theme.
You don't want Booker T as your manager. Booker T doesn't want to be a manager. That's like a too big of a personality to shadow to cast over you. He doesn't need that.
Fair. But I'm just like, you have the excitement of Trick. Ethan Page has been amazing as NXT champion, that like cocky, pompous heel that everyone loves to hate. And since we kind of have the TNA crossover a little bit, he now has a buddy who's also a heel over in TNA that he was a tag team partner with, Josh Alexander. Maybe we could see him getting into that a little bit and helping Ethan Page. So it's
choose your weapon.
Just a little taste. I got that.
Yeah, that little taste that you heard, you can definitely hear that over on Chairshot NFL with PC Tunney and my brother, the IWC Warchief, especially for Weapon of the Week that they're going to be doing.
Yes, sir. This week it was Xavier Worthy or Saquon Barkley. Weapon of the Week. Follow at Chairshot NFL. Great show today, guys. Congratulations, Dan, on your almost winning streak. We'll see if PC Tunney comes ready to play or not. AJ. Let everybody know what's going on with you and tell everybody about thechairshot.com.
You can follow me all over the social media interwebs at PhenomenalAJB. That's AJB in all caps. And don't forget, we're not just podcast galore. We are also articles galore over at thechairshot.com. Sports, entertainment, you name it. We got it all on thechairshot.com.
Follow me all over the worldwide social media interwebs at It's Me DPP, and follow this show at Podcast DWI on that big ol' X and facebook.com/DWI podcast.
Chairshot Radio Network, all of your favorite streaming platforms. Monday, Bandwagon Nerds. Tuesday, either Musical Chairs or Hockey Talk during the hockey season. Wednesday, The Greg DeMarco Show. Thursday, Double Dip during NFL. The Oddity and Chairshot NFL, otherwise always The Oddity. Thursdays. Fridays, you got DWI right here. Saturdays, Mindless, always Mindless on Saturdays. Appreciate the weekend like that. And Sundays, the Front and Center podcast. Don't forget the Big Five of Attitude of Aggression podcast. Recounting all the WWE pay-per-view and PLEs. In addition, we got some live coverage after WWE PLE events, myself and DJ from Mindless Podcast. And of course, classic Pod is War whenever we need something. Basically, I'll just tell it to you straight. Breaking news, there will be another Pod is War brand new holiday special.
I'll be there.
As of now, I can confirm I will be there. That's all I can confirm. As of right now, stay tuned for the rest of meteorological fall. Follow me at PZ Tunney, and you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as DW. Got him! All up in your earballs!
Ow, yeah. You bastard.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.